Welcome to Bite Size Little Marketing. Today I have Matt Garrett. Matt, thank you so much for taking time to jump on the show. We've been trading emails and you know, it's taken a minute to get us here through the holidays and first part of the year, but I'm so glad you can jump on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Eric. I know. I'm glad our calendar is finally aligned and we can have this combo.
You know, as we've seen offices grow, one of the biggest challenges they have and opportunities they have is these dental membership plans. And I know at Membersy, you guys are working with 10 of the top 15 DSOs. You're around 4,500 locations and you know, you're in all 50 states. I would love to hear about your journey through Membersy, how you're helping your clients in this area of the practice, and just give me kind of a rundown of what's going on.
Yeah. So, you know, 76 million Americans are uninsured, right? Now, working with different offices, right, figuring out kind of their challenges and where their gaps are with their uninsured and underinsured patients, you know, is kind of where we kind of hang our hat, is what we help offices kind of strategize. What are we currently offering for the underinsured and uninsured cash pay patients, right? And one of the things we constantly are hearing with our partners and prospects is issues with two main things, really, is, you know, that treatment acceptance, those same day starts, you know, with the cash patients, right? Sometimes it's just a different game, you know, getting them started, getting them going with treatment. Now the second one, and this is a big one, I think is the biggest one, is really kind of that patient loyalty, that patient retention with their cash pay, their uninsured patients. You know, a lot of those patients don't feel like they have a home office. And that's some things I've been working with doctors, owners, CEOs, is how do we create that experience? You know, how do we get that from the patients that are uninsured, right? A lot of times it's, you know, anywhere from 15, 20, 25, 30% of practices have uninsured patients, right? That's right. When you look at revenue, that's a big chunk. So that's something that we help strategize is really help, you know, that patient loyalty and obviously a revenue lift.
Right. Now, what are you seeing in some of the metrics around the practices that you work with of that lift?
Yeah. So some of the metrics that the biggest metric, I'm going to go back to patient loyalty, that offices should be tracking when we talk about success, right? Because what does success of a membership plan look like? And success means a little bit different to everyone. But a lot of groups, a lot of practices, they're defining success by how well are we retaining these patients, right? What is our, and that's something that, you know, in our dashboard, you know, and you can see on the platform, right, is how well are we retaining? Is our retention rate at 50%, which isn't too bad? How do we get to 70%? You know, how do we retain 70% of patients? And, you know, some offices that try to administer a plan themselves before they come to Membersy, you know, they struggle with getting the analytics. They struggle with, you know, having a streamlined way for their discounts, right? Sometimes they have team members that enter discounts in a little bit differently in their practice management software, and it can be confusing. So, you know, having that approach, right? And that KPI, that the biggest KPI that I think we need to be tracking for membership plan success, you know, is really that retention percentage. And that's, you know, we help with auto renewal. You know, our company, we do all the billing and support calls and stuff for your team. That's one of the big ones. You know, we can get to revenue lift and same day, you know, case acceptance. And those are things that we do help with. You know, we had a recent study, testimonial, I guess, if you will. And this group had about a 2.8x return for production per visit of a cash paying patient that's not a member versus a cash paying patient that is a member, right? So that's almost 3x, right? It's just, you know, and day one, most of them can see day one value when they sign up with a membership plan. So
now when you say retention, are you looking at the number of patients who begin the year on the plan and then re-enrolled the next year?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the number that we're looking versus patients that are opting out or canceling. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's how we look at retention.
Gotcha.
So whether you're a single location or whether you have multiple locations, you can kind of see, you know, see those KPIs and making sure that we're all, you know, we're all on the same page when it comes to retaining our patients.
Now, how do you see the offices who are successful at driving engagement and patient engagement and signups? How do you see them engage their patients around membership plan? Are they talking about it on the phone when they're scheduling? Are they, is it part of the new patient exam? Is it part of, you know, when I present treatment to someone? Where are the touch points you're seeing that are most effective in that dialogue?
Yeah, anywhere and everywhere, really, what you just talked about, right? Whether it is on your website, right? Whether it is, you know, in your office, whether it's on the phone, right? These are all tools in the toolbox for team members at offices that now have membership plans, right? What's the first thing that, you know, patients ask when they get on the phone?
Everyone, do you take my insurance?
Do you take my insurance, right? Or I don't have insurance. Can you see me, right? And that's what our team does a really good job. I think, you know, members see that I do believe that we are unique and we do have a great team and we help you guys kind of navigate, right? Because you, like you talked about, well, when the patient comes in and we see them and, you know, we present a treatment plan, how do we not overwhelm them too much with now, hey, here's our membership plan, and making it really the successful plans, the successful teams really make it part of their culture. Mm-hmm. And they understand that with a membership plan, we're not eating in to our margins. We're not eating. This isn't taking away from revenue. This is actually a revenue booster. And once teams can make it part of their culture, this plan, hey, listen, you're going to see benefits day one. You know, especially it seems like the, you know, a trend with patients and consumers, just that subscription-based model they're getting more comfortable with. You know, it's a great thing to offer our patients, but like you've kind of alluded to, it's making them comfortable and understanding, hey, whether I'm on the phone, whether I'm in person, whether they're, you know, they're on the website, we got to make sure that this is a something that patients can see value day one. And, you know, I think that's where teams can really successfully execute on the membership plan.
You nailed it from my standpoint. I mean, we've been in the adjacent to membership plans and marketing for some period of time, because you're right. If you're a PPO-driven practice, the biggest predictor of patient converting is the acceptance of insurance, and not having a good answer to that is very important. And I love it when it's part of, you know, culture. I love it when it's part of the huddle of, okay, we're seeing Matt today at 10 o'clock. Matt doesn't have an insurance plan and he's not on our membership program. Let's go ahead and talk to him about it. I love it when the team is excited about it. What I unfortunately see most often when it's not successful is there's one person who's excited about it and they kind of had the power to drive the enrollment, but you're not hitting it from the team aspect. You're, you know, one person's kind of talking about it now and again, and that's a big hill to climb up. But yeah,
definitely. It's making this, you know, part of, like you said, like we've talked about, kind of part of their culture, part of their mission with, you know, uninsured patients. And it's, you know, that transparency, and some offices have fun with it. You know, if you have multiple offices, sometimes they'll have contests, you know, hey guys, you know, implementing any new technology, there's going to be some speed bumps, right? There's going to be a little bit of, you know, sometimes maybe a little bit of resistance, and it's just kind of getting over that. Like how do we accomplish it? And it's taking it head on. If you need more calls, you know, if you need extra training, we can help there. And I like you said, it's when it's only one person that's bought in. We try to do team trainings, and we try to get into a little bit more than just have like one champion, it's a little bit more, you know, based on how big the practice is and who that is in the organization, right? We need a lot more buy-in than that. And you know, I think it's just simplicity wins. Simplicity is so huge with membership plans and patients. I think sometimes patients get, we call paralysis analysis. Sometimes when there's too many plan options, we've already gotten some treatment presented. Now we have, you know, six different plans. A lot of times they're just so overwhelmed with, I don't even know what plan I'm in. I guess now I'm in perio, or, you know, sometimes it's just, hey, listen, this is our membership plan price. You know, this is if you want to add a dependent, just making it very simple for them to understand, these are our discounts. This is how much it's going to cost for you. If you want to add someone else, this is how much it is. And the simplicity, hands down, we've seen the best results from, you know, signups, retention, you know, a revenue lift. It is that simplicity.
Yeah. Now, you know, we've hit on the return on investment and calculating retention and the lift in treatment presented. We've talked about the patient experience of it. I had someone tell me a joke one time, and it wasn't a joke, but every office out there is breaking the laws. They just haven't been caught yet when it comes to insurance and other things. And that's funny, but probably true. And we know one of the challenges offices have is people are doing, you know, coding things different in the patient management system. They're doing different discounts in different ways. They're talking to patients different ways about it. Walk me through how you ensure that an office is kept compliant and the team has an understanding of how to work with the plan and not get crossways with insurance and state laws and such.
Yeah, definitely. So because we are DMPO, I'm going to go back to that discount medical plan operator, because we are DMPO licensed, there are certain regulations that we have to say, we have to state on your website and on your marketing materials, right?
Okay.
There are certain things that we have to say, and we have to stay up to date with every single state, right? Like I said earlier, a lot of them, you know, almost over half of them require some type of licensing to work with, to have a DMPO license. So your staff doesn't necessarily have to worry about the latest medical plan compliance issues with your states, because we handle all that. When I talk about fully administering your plan, that's something that we do. We're unique in the industry that we do take it on, right? We take on billing. We took on over 100,000 member support calls last year from our customers. That's about 300 per office, right? What would that mean to your team, right? We talk about some in-house plans don't work well, and maybe there's only one person bought in because it's might be, you know, hard to run, right? Then we take that administrative burden off of your team, off of your doctor, off of your office manager, whoever it may be. When we talk about what the time saving and some things that we do, it's been awesome.
How do you get into when they ask questions that are maybe outside the membership plan scope? Let's say I'm a patient of Heather Majors, and I have this membership plan I'm part of, and I call you. Are they very clear that they're calling the membership plan versus the office? And you know, how do you handle someone who may call the membership plan and then get into a question about their appointment or something like that?
Yeah, for sure. We're very clear when we get on. You know, we act as like an extension of the office about membership plans, benefits, pricing, you know, auto renewing, stuff like that. I mean, the patients do know, they do get text messages, emails about, you know, if they're on auto renewal that's coming up, or if they opted out, you know, that they're coming out of. So they should know, and they should have some type of outreach. But a lot of times, you know, the calls that we get, as I'm sure if you've worked in a dental office, a lot of them are about billing questions, billing dispute, right? And we kind of handle that. It's very clear in our guidelines, right? On the website, on the marketing, if, you know, you have X amount of days to cancel, or if you don't use the benefits. That should be understood. There's a phone number that they can call if they have questions about their membership plan. They get an email from us. They get an e-card. They can see their benefits. But yeah, I mean, we handle disputes. We handle that type of disputes. But yeah, if they're talking about scheduling, that's where we can hand them off to the office. Or if the office has online scheduling, you know, we can kind of direct them.
Gotcha.
Right. Hey, you can actually do it online, or you can give them a call. We don't necessarily do all that.
That's great. I mean, it's funny that that's a problem, but there are so many patients out there who don't realize they're calling the wrong office and all kinds of stuff that they'll get 5-10 minutes into a conversation and be like, oh, this is not even my dental office, just because of how we, you know, they're just the technical details of, are they clicking on an ad or something like that. It's pretty funny to listen to phone calls and hear all of it.
Yeah. I mean, Eric, you probably get that. You probably get patients that don't mean to sign up for, you know, like where you have a prospect page. You probably have leads that come in that are looking, they're looking for a doctor, and you're like, okay, well, it's not what we do, you know, but you know, it's kind of similar to that, right? Sometimes they just get on and call.
Yeah. More than once we've had a prospective patient walk into our office thinking that we were the doctor. I don't know what led you to believe that we're a dentist office, but you know, you know, here's the conference room. I guess we can pull a tooth if we had to. Yeah. Now, I wanted to pivot a little bit on what are you seeing out there as the trends in the membership plans? And you know, I know you mentioned all the underserved and underinsured. There's a big push of folks getting out of insurance plans right now as reimbursement rates drop. How is that impacting what you see out there in the marketplace and the membership plan spectrum?
I would say it's kind of two ways there. I think one of them is, like you talked about, offices trying to get away from maybe being a little bit too reliant, maybe a little too much PPO dependence, right? Kind of going away from that side of their business, right? Maybe it's a claims thing. Maybe it's eating too much into their margins, right? And they want a different option and they want to go out of network, right? Maybe they want to be less PPO dependent, like I said. Also, on the other side, there's a ton of patients out there that, you know, in the last 9 to 12 months have lost a lot of Medicaid benefits that they were seeing from a COVID world, post-COVID, that they actually have started to lose. We can't use it with Medicaid. We can't use it with insurance, right? It's a supplement, but finding that gap of, you know, patients that can benefit from a membership plan. That's as far as a trend that we've seen of offices that want to get less PPO, you know, compliant, some or PPO dependent. Sometimes it's a really scary jump to make. Usually it's, you know, 12 to 18 months in the making, but not longer, you know, that they're ready to finally do it. And then this is a great way to kind of help you and supplement it and offer a great thing for your patients that are going to be uninsured, that are going to be cash pay. Like I said, obviously with the Medicaid gap too, we've helped a lot of offices too that have a high percentage of Medicaid, you know, kind of supplement this and kind of figure out. It just depends on each practice, right? Where their gap.
Yeah. That's a great place to sort of wrap it up. Anyone who's contemplating membership plans, as a marketer, I can tell you don't manage your own. Definitely call someone and Matt's a good dude to call. So
yeah, I appreciate that, man. I really do. Yeah, it means a lot.
Thanks for jumping on the show and it's been great.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate your time, Eric.